Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. We are here on NFL Draft Eve, so we thought we'd have an NFL Draft show, and in a matter of minutes, we'll get to our interview pre-recorded earlier this afternoon, our good friend Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, and with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, a Panthers fan, I believe, Kyle Barber, how are you?
Really no affiliation, but I guess if I had to choose, I'd go with the Panthers if I had to pick an NFL team. Yeah, why not support the local guys?
Exactly. Bubba Rosenbaum in the Charlotte area. I know you're a Panthers fan. How are you, dude?
Doing well, Dave. How are you and Kyle this evening?
We're great. We're getting ready for that. And by the way, later in the show, guys, in a little while, we'll have the Reverend Alan Powell. We know him as Powered Al. I don't know why, but this afternoon it just hit me to say Reverend Al. So we'll have Powered Al.
I think you're getting confused with Al Sharpton. I mean, this is the hair. Okay.
The Reverend Al.
So the hair?
No, I don't know. Yeah, maybe so.
Well, hell, I got him confused with Al Cannon, so.
We're all confused tonight with.
Yeah, remind me to tell the story.
The wrong Al. But anyway,
when Al has questions, he goes to the.
Okay, we will.
The radio engineer.
Yeah, our engineer for the Sports Objective, we have live events. So, Al Ken is a dear friend of mine and gave me my first job at radio. And we have none other than Alan Powell with the real Al Cannon. Will the real Alan Powell stand up? We'll find out which one is which in the show. We'll do that very soon. Hey, guys, you ready to go to our interview?
I think we better.
Let's do it now. The play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers earlier today. Here's Mick Mixon.
Well, with the eve of the NFL draft, we're very excited to have back to the show a dear friend of our show and in life, and that is, of course, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. Mick, how are you, man?
Fantastic. I'm talking to you now from our stadium, and at Bank of America Stadium, there's tremendous excitement coursing through here with soccer on the cusp and an announcement today that Bank of America will have a field turf installed. That's a difficult decision because natural grass, a lot of people are huge fans of that, including many of our players, but the work that's required to resod that field and keep it ready, and then with soccer, with the desire to do more concerts and more events here. So there's that. Then also you got the Teddy Bridgewater news from today, and we're ramping up for the NFL draft this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of nothing going on there in Charlotte, for sure. Speaking of the Bridgewater situation, I want to get your thoughts on that. We saw that breaking news earlier today and wanted to see what you think.
Kind of sad in a way because you attach to these players, and Teddy Bridgewater was pure class. I mean, to watch him work, to see how he went about his business every day. But Teddy would tell you, if I could hand the phone over to him, David, he would tell you the same thing. All NFL players know that it is just that. It is a business. And sometimes you break up, you start dating somebody else, then you get remarried. Your former wife, I mean, it just kind of happens that way in the league. But Bridgewater still has a lot of football left. But this will open up some things for the Panthers. Now, even more so than ever, you could envision Carolina picking a quarterback in this draft if one should be available at 8. You could also envision them not doing that, them going O-line, them going cornerback, them trading back. I think that the Darnold move plus Bridgewater to Denver for a 6 makes a lot of sense. Gives the Panthers a draft pick back and doesn't hamstring Carolina in a lot of ways.
And Mick, I wanted to ask you that, staying in the quarterback room, we haven't had Juwan since the Panthers acquired. They got Sam Darnold. So talk about him and what he brings to the Panthers.
Intelligent athlete, football age, much older than his chronological age. He'll turn 24 in June. So to be 23, to have gone pro after your redshirt sophomore year, but to still have 3 years of NFL experience in a big market on your resume, that's impressive. Darnold can get the ball downfield. All quarterbacks can sling it at this level, but Panthers have always liked Sam Darnold. Scott Fitterer liked him when he vetted him for the Seahawks, and I think Matt Rhule's been a fan as well. So this should be fascinating to see how Sam Darnold fits with all these pieces. He'll be reunited with Robbie Anderson, a former Jet teammate. Hopefully Christian McCaffrey, CMC, will be back on the chessboard as one of those awesome pieces, the pieces of weaponry that the Joe Brady offense will love. Dan Arnold comes in as a tight end. You got DJ Moore returning. There's a lot of excitement about this offense and what it can be.
No question with the that very thing, the excitement of Darnold, and then with the draft. What do you think the needs are? Well, you're talking about corner, but what do you think the needs are for this team? If you could be in that draft room, who would you pick?
Well, I have an open door policy, and did under John Fox, and did under Ron Rivera and Marty Herney, and I'll be here in my office in case anybody wants to bounce anything off of me. So far, no one has. The only thing I've heard is just the sound of crickets chirping in the night. But I would say it's already – see, I deal in syllables and in sounds and in – so I'm already a little worried about Sam Darnold throwing the ball to a tight end named Dan Arnold, because Dan Arnold and Darnold could trip you up. So we'll
right.
That make sure we're right. So player – with hyphenated names, who wants to be called the third or the fourth or Esquire or somebody from some distant land with 72 consonants in their last name. I would just hope for that to be run through a fine filter. Now, I'm just kidding, of course. Don't anybody take me too seriously. But I think just what Scott Fitterer said, David, he's been a pretty open book. He has said corner, he has said O-line, and he has said defensive line.
That's exactly where we're going. And as far as Coach Rule, I told you in the email when I reached out to you about coming on, huge fan of him, and you've had a chance to work with him now. What are your thoughts on him? And those of us on the outside have always liked him, and certainly it seems like the players liked him wherever he was in college, and I'm sure the Panthers do as well.
Matt Rule is so gifted, David, as a communicator. He's magical in a way. He's got that ability. I mean, you would walk right – if you didn't know that who he was, you would walk right past him at the mall or on the street, or you'd see him driving his car, and you would not probably think twice about the – he wouldn't stand out. But as soon as he starts talking, as soon as he opens his mouth, you see that he's got neurons firing, he's motivational, he's got a creative intelligence about him. I remember one time last year during the COVID – I was up here on the fourth floor where my little office, my little cubicle is. Down on three, Coach Rule was having a meeting with the entire team. And I heard him talking about, are we going to let this define us? Are we going to let this, what this person says, what this writer writes, define us? And he started just railing. I mean, and it was better than any motivation. I made myself real skinny, which is not difficult because I'm already kind of that way. And just leaned up against the wall and just eavesdrop on his talk to the team for about 5 minutes. And I felt like my life, you know, my day was made better. My month was made better. My life was enhanced just by hearing him talk. And the message wasn't even directed my way.
It's going to be exciting to see the Panthers. And certainly with that, and as far as you were talking, the field with Bank of America, the second have been the Charlotte Football Club. How is that with you guys? With I know with David Tepper only the team, both teams. How is the relationship between both clubs?
I'm not sure because I don't have the access that I used to have. It's starting to come back with more people working in the building.
Right.
Actually, this is an exciting. I mean, just. So I'm right across the hall from the Charlie Dayton press box. So on the fourth floor, Bank of America Stadium. So when I walk to the restroom, which I do frequently because I'm 62 years old, I see all – I mean, there's construction going on everywhere, outside the gallery suites, the luxury suites. The press box itself is being remodeled. Some offices are being – I mean, David Tepper is not going to stand pat. He does not believe in just staying where you are. He wants to be state of the art, best of the best in every way, including our facility.
Well, not only because I like him because he has the same name as I do, but also the fact he seems to be very aggressive, and I mean that in a good way, and also he seems to be a visionary.
Well, he made his money by being risk tolerant, and to be the richest NFL owner to have a net worth of about, I don't know, $14, $16 billion. As I'm sure you know, Bubba might even know this, when you've lived 1 billion seconds of your life, you're over 30 years old. You're almost 31 years old by the time you've lived 1 billion seconds. That's how big a number a billion is. So then multiply that by 10, 15, 16, and you get the number of dollars that David Tepper has. It's unbelievable. David Tepper doesn't react to the financial markets. The markets react to him. And he's determined. I mean, this facility in Rock Hill is going to be amazing. Bank of America Stadium, who knows what will happen here over the next 5, 10, 15 years. But it's going to be electric.
Hey, Mick, circling back around to Sam Darnold, obviously chosen third overall by the New York Jets back in 2018. Just talk about his contract situation, and I know you referenced the Panthers potentially drafting a quarterback. That remains to be seen, but just talk about the Sam Darnold contract situation.
Yeah, somebody said to me the other day, if they draft a quarterback, won't that cause Sam Darnold's confidence to be shaky and cause him to see even more ghosts? And I said, look, Sam Darnold's going to be fine. I mean, he's going to have weapons here that he didn't have with the Jets. Weapons on the coaching staff, weapons on the field. And it's not our job to prop up Sam Darnold's world and make him cushy and confident. It's his job to show his primary employer that he's got the gravitas, the traction, the ability to bring confidence and swagger to everything he does. And by all accounts, he's up for that challenge.
With us being us being East Carolina fans, Mick, Deontay Smith, offensive tackle for the Pirates, who had a bit of an injury-riddled career, particularly later on in his time in the purple and gold. He's performed very well at the Senior Bowl, and then in his pro day at ECU, he in some mock drafts has been projected to go to Carolina, and I know you said that's a need for the Panthers. So that's exciting to East Carolina fans, the possibility of him staying here close to home.
That'd be amazing. And you make a good point, Bubba. The medical thing is huge because, number one, you got a player that has a back injury that coaching staff, they don't have the ability as much as they have had to vet these guys and get the complete medical. It's better than it was, but it's still not ideal. And then our particular coaching staff is huge on how do you appear? And then how does that reflect really who you are? In other words, the Panthers want guys and insist on guys that love football. So does Smith love football? Which I guarantee you he does, or like some, is he just a fan? Does he just play because of what the game can do for him and his family? And so the Panthers love these tough guys that can overcome injuries. And then there's been also some who've opted out. I mean, Penei Sewell, 20-year-old from American Samoa, best tackle and the best offensive lineman in college football in 2019, but he opts out in 2020. So some team is going to draft him probably top 10, if not top 6. The Miami trade with Washington, trading Flowers to Washington, makes it seem likely that they'll take Sewell if the Bengals don't at 5. But Penei Sewell will not have played tackle football in over a year. So there are risks all over the place. But I'm glad you mentioned Smith because he is – I know the Panthers are big fans of him.
And Deontay Smith, he's a guy that the injury combined with everything going on with COVID-19 and not being able to work out with the strength coach and do the things that a Division I athlete would typically do, he dropped down to about 274 pounds, but now he's up to about 290 and 295 and playing at that weight better than he had before, before he dropped those 15 or so pounds.
Wow, that's good to know and good to hear. I think I could see one of the fun things about Thursday night will be, you know, there's so much intrigue in what do the Niners do at 3, then what do the Falcons do at 4, what do the Bengals do at 5, then you got Miami at 6. It'll just be so interesting to see. I think the best case scenario for the Panthers might be now. I don't, like I say, don't quote me because I'm just a guy and I don't know. I'm just interested like any fan, but if a quarterback was available, if one of the QBs was still on the board when the Panthers selected, and Carolina could trade back a pick or two, still get a player they have a top 10 grade on, and then pick up maybe another pick to replace the second they lost in the Darnold deal, it's got a chance.
Mick, I had a sidebar for you as far as we're just talking about East Carolina. East Carolina is opening their season at Bank of America Stadium September the 2nd. The Duke's Mayonnaise Classic, I don't know if all the fans will get a jar of mayonnaise when they walk in, but it's East Carolina, App State. I just want to get your thoughts on that. I know that you follow sports closely, and we're very excited to be opening up our season at Bank of America.
It's going to be a great, great environment. My wife and I came to the South Carolina, North Carolina game when those two teams opened the season at Bank of America Stadium. And just to have this, to have Charlotte just lit up with the black and gold from Appalachian State, the purple storm will be rolling in from where the deer and the fire ants roam. And man, it's just going to be a heck of a thing. And what are you guys seeing about Pirate football? I mean, I know it's been, I talk to Coach Logan every once in a while. I love talking to Steve, and he's kind of a must phone call for me every week. I like getting his opinion on the other quarterback the Panthers are going to face. But do you think ECU is positioned to achieve and maintain national prominence again?
Oh, no question. They actually, this year, Coach Houston, we've already talked on our show, Mick, but Coach Houston, he's very honest. That's what we love about him. He's brutally honest. And I think that in a subtle, he's not been very direct, but I think that he's been more candid this year. And he finally said something to the effect of recently, about a week ago, we had our spring scrimmage. I got to be careful my semantics make there. The administration doesn't like to say spring game. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, he said that he feels like it's the AAC team right now, Bubba.
Absolutely. He said, and like you're saying, bigger, faster, stronger, older players entering year 3 of Mike Houston. It definitely looks more like an American Athletic Conference team as it should. And, you know, Mick, we ended last year with a very sound victory over SMU, a team that was right there, a fringe top 25 team. Obviously having a very good season under Coach Dykes. So there were times like that, the near miss, a game that was really stolen from the Pirates by the officiating crew at Tulsa. I'm sure you probably were aware of that situation. So things are trending in the right direction. I could see the Pirates, you know, vying for a bowl this year.
Is my friend Jeff Charles still the voice of the Pirates?
Yes, he is. I believe it'll be the 33rd season coming up, Bubba, this year, I believe, and there September the 2nd.
Yep, I believe that's correct, Dave. I want to say it was either 87 or 88 was his first year.
Yep.
And Carl Lester Crumpler used to do the color a long time ago. Does Crump still work with him?
He does not. It's Kevin Monroe. Kevin Monroe played defensive back for the Pirates there in the 90s. And he took over, I want to say it was 2004. So Kevin Monroe, it's hard to believe, has been there now, I guess, what, 17 years or so?
Oh, man. I'm sure they're a great team.
Yeah, they really are, and we're looking forward to that, just like we are certainly with the Panthers, Mick. I tell you what, very excited about the draft, and I know that this is the time of the year where I know there's always sleepless nights, but I can't imagine too many nights where these guys are getting any kind of sleep with the draft being tomorrow night.
You can't believe how hard they work. A couple of them playing low to some going to Cleveland today, and our .com folks do a great job on Panthers.com and covering the draft, and we're going to have it for you, all the interviews, the podcasts, and every pick and every nuance on Panthers.com.
And one final question for you, Mick. What about when it comes to the fall or the summertime with training camp? Will we be able to go there or in Rock Hill, or what's the plan? Have you heard anything?
I've heard, and again, don't take me too seriously and quote me, but what I've heard is that the NFL is planning on full stadiums in 2021, and that teams will be allowed to travel and go to training camp off their sites if they wish to. And what I've heard is the Panthers are making plans to go back to Wofford.
Oh, man, that's exciting news. And I lied. I do have one more. Your thoughts quickly on, I know you have to run, but the 17-game season, are you equipped to do one more regular season game? This year was 17. I've been watching the NFL for a long time. It's been 16 regular season games. This year, we're adding one more game. I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, it'll just be weird. We'll have to recalibrate those numbers, because instinctively you kind of think, okay, well, you could be 12-4, you could be 11-5. Now you could be, you know, 14-3, and that'll have a weird sound to it, but we'll get used to it. And I think it's great. I think it's the direction that it should go. It's going to add value to the season, more games that count. And I think last year with no preseason certainly proved that NFL teams do not need 12 quarters of football, do not need 16 quarters of football, rather, in order to get their rosters set.
No question, Mick. Very excited always to have you on the show. How can people follow your work on social media? And I'm sure that we can hear you in coming up in August, right?
You cannot follow my work on social media because I'm not on social media. I believe scarcity breeds momentum. I long ago decided that I don't care what people who don't know me think about me. I don't see the value of slugging it out with people who have got more time to type than I do. And also, I love just, somebody said to me the other day, well, Mick, what about your brand? Don't you want to?
No, let me see if you get some brand.
Hell no, I don't have it. I don't believe in. My brand is that I'm a friendly guy. I'm the guy that tries to connect you to Panther games on Sunday.
I'm standing managed by your organization.
And hopefully that, and I love football and love the gig, and hopefully that comes across on the air. And this job needs no further edification than that, in my opinion.
Well, Mick, I enjoyed it as always. Appreciate it. Good luck to the Panthers this season. We'll have you on certainly in the summertime as we get ready for, hard to believe, the 2021 football season.
Oh, sounds great, man. I appreciate it, Bubba. Thank you, David. Always great hearing your voices.
All right, great to have one of them. Mick Mixon,
the female overlay voice. Did you guys hear that? It was like a female voice from beyond the grave. What was that?
I have no clue. I just know that Al came unmuted. I didn't know if it was coming from his end or what.
Al, is your wife talking there?
No, it's all good, my man. All good. I'm here. Good to be with you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Reverend. The Reverend Pirate Al. I made you a Reverend, by the way, Pirate Al.
Wow. That's, it's, I don't know. If that, I guess that's a compliment. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you on.
I think he's getting you confused with Al Sharpton.
Before we start.
Oh, yeah, man, Kyle. Wow.
No, I didn't. Go, no,
you're
I didn't,
killing me, man.
No. Listen to this. We got to tell the story. You said you want to tell the story, so tell the story before we get dive deep into pirate football. He thought that you said you didn't care about pirate football anymore.
Yeah, I did, Al. Because Dave didn't get you confused with somebody, but I did. The other day when Coach Houston, you know, made the little slip of the tongue saying that it was an open scrimmage and everybody to come on out, and the sports objective decided to go ahead and promote it. Just we're banned from a certain board by a certain person. And so I messaged Pirate Owl to go on that Facebook message board and promote that the spring scrimmage or the spring game, whatever you want to call it, was going to happen. You know, this is that Saturday when Houston said it. Bubba had made a graphic and we were promoting it around social media, but we couldn't go on this particular Facebook page. So I messaged Pirate Owl. I said, Pirate Owl, you know, send this graphic over here to this page. And Al messages me back, and Al says, well, you know, I really don't follow college football much. I think I'm a member of that page, so I'll go post it there. Let me check. So I thought, okay, well, Pirate Owl's just following baseball now. That's weird. He doesn't keep up East Carolina football anymore. But, so Al messages me back and says, all right, it's done. I was a member of that page, and I posted it for you. And I was just telling them right before the show, I said, you guys know that Pirate Owl doesn't follow Pirate football anymore? And Dave was like, what? And Bubba was quite confused. And I told him what happened. And I went and looked, and it was Al Cannon. I messaged that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, my man. No.
It was Al Cannon.
It was funny.
I'll be following Pirate football until I'm dead. I'll be following Pirate football until I'm 6 feet under.
Yeah, it was Al Cannon, our engineer and radio engineer, we carried on the whole conversation. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, but didn't know it.
I love the song from Graceland from Paul Simon. You can call me Al. We'll just play that song. You can call me Al. Everybody's Al right now. It doesn't matter who it is. Al Cannon. Alan Powell, Al, I mean, Pirate Al, it doesn't matter which Al we get. Al from Happy Days, I mean, whatever we can do.
Yeah, but, Al, that's what I told Kyle. I said, you know, Pirate Al has a pulse. He was there on Saturday, and, you know, he was asking Coach Houston questions all season.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. And, you know, but I looked at my Facebook Messenger, and, you know, you're Alan Powell on Facebook. You're not even Al. So I just see Al, and I was like, all right, that's the only – and I just – it didn't – my brain didn't even register Al Cannon because I call him AC. So it didn't even register to me Al. I was like, Al – anyway.
All right. Well, now that we've got that
– yeah, promoted it.
Yeah.
Now that we've got that out of the way, we can bring in Pirate Al now. And the real Pirate Al is with us. Will the real Pirate Al please stand up? And we got you now. Man, we got so many sports topics. We talked ECU alone, Pirate Nation. Obviously, we can talk about the Panthers draft tomorrow night. Deontay Smith, a Pirate Radio reference there. Cool, neat story. Thank you, Jeff Charles, voice of the Pirates. But there's so many places that we could start. I guess we need to start back with the scrimmage. Like I said to our good friend Mick Mixon, we need to make sure we have semantics right. It's not a spring game. It's a scrimmage. Get your thoughts on that first.
Talking to me, Dave?
Yeah.
Speed. I like the speed. We're much quicker than we used to be, especially on defense. I like the way we're flying around. I think for years we've had our best teams when we've been much better on the line of scrimmage. And I think we can put a competitive offense and defensive line on the field. And I think you're going to see us fight for a bowl game this year. And I'm pretty optimistic.
Talk about some of the play. Obviously, we saw highlights when they moved the time up and different things I had going on with the kids. I wasn't able to make it down for the game. But a lot of folks have raved about the play they saw out of Stubblefield. Talk about him and, you know, Mason Garcia and the quarterback situation behind Holton.
I've always really liked Stubblefield. I loved his high school tape. There's nothing that he showed me in the scrimmage that disappointed me. I tell you who it reminded me of on tape, and especially more when I saw him in person, is Marcus Crandall. He's got an absolute cannon for an arm. He's much quicker than I thought he was. A couple of his scrambles, the kid can move. I know he's on the short side, but, I mean, I think the future's really bright. And Mason's loaded with talent. He just needs to continue learning the offense. But I think one through really five with Simmons getting here just a few months ago, I think we're the best shape we've been depth-wise at quarterback in years.
Yeah, Stubby on that read play where he kept it, obviously quick whistle on the quarterback, but 25 to 30-yard gain at worst case, and, you know, in a real game, he may have been gone.
Absolutely, and I love quarterbacks that have that dual threat. They can beat you with their legs or their arm. So the best teams we ever had, we had like that with David Garrard, Jeff Blake, Marcus Crandall, even Danny Gonzalez could really run. I love having that speed at the quarterback position that can make people miss and beat you both ways.
Al, do you think with us having some depth at quarterback, do you think they'll incorporate the running game back into Ayler's offense? I mean, we saw that when Montgomery was here, Ayler's can run the ball. We saw it in high school. We hadn't seen it in the last few years, but now with some depth at the quarterback position and Holton cutting a couple of pounds, I wonder if we'll see him running the ball more again.
Yeah, he's quicker. He shed, 10, 15 pounds? He's a lot quicker now. Plus, yeah, you're right, Kyle, with the depth, you're not as concerned, God forbid, if he gets nicked up or gets hurt, who the second string quarterback's going to be to come in. We can possibly put somebody in there now that knows the offense well enough to still win ball games. So, yeah, I think definitely you'll see him run more and be more aggressive that way than in the past year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, hopefully.
Talk about what you saw out of Keaton Mitchell. Obviously, last year we saw a lot of good things from Keaton and then also Rajay Harris. Running back room, not as much depth as we would like right now. I know some of those walk-ons behind the two I just mentioned have done some nice things that Coach Houston has referenced. And then you have Pop McCray coming in this fall, summer.
You got the kid from Marshall also.
Yeah, Jamone Wilson, I believe, isn't it? Jamone, I can't pronounce his name. Jamone Wilson. Yeah, he's really, really quick. But I was real happy with Mitchell and Rajay. They're a hell of a 1-2 punch, man. I mean, you got thunder and lightning there. Mitchell's a home run hitter anytime he gets it. And Rajay will make the linebackers, the defensive backs, by the middle of the third quarter, wish to God he wouldn't run through the tackles again. So it's a great combination. Pop McKay, guys, pretty much every SEC school – offered him, and I guess his grades weren't real, real good at the time, so they kind of shied away a little bit, but we stuck with him. It looks like he's going to qualify from what I hear, and we're going to have a great 1-2-3 there, plus the transfer of the Wilson kid coming in from Marshall, so that gives us four right there. We should be in pretty good shape for a while, and they're all freshmen. Think about that. I mean, all four of them are going to be freshmen.
Wow. That's that's something that everybody's got to keep in mind, because you're right. COVID, everybody, you get that extra year of eligibility.
That's right. I think it's really going to really hurt the seniors in high school coming out. I think if you're an elite senior, you're going to be okay. But guys that are not, you know, or they're on the borderline of maybe being offered or not, you're going to have colleges that would much rather recruit out of the transfer portal than take a kid that they're not real 100% sure at come out of high school. I think it's really going to hurt high school recruiting.
And guys, I mean, that opt to enter the portal, you know, there aren't as many transfer opportunities as there would be under normal circumstances. So a guy that may typically go FCS may go D2, or, you know, there's a trickle down effect across the board.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do, guys? I mean, you transfer out, you're saying, hey, I'm looking for a better opportunity, more playing time. And then the problem is I mean, there's twice as many people going to the portal, players going to the portal than there are openings out there. So, I mean, you give up your scholarship, you're done. I mean, what do you do? I mean, good, get a 9-to-5 job. I mean,
what's the situation with Penix? Has anybody picked him up?
Yeah, he today. Probably like he's going to a Division II school up in Ohio. I've never heard of the school, to be honest with you, Kyle. But looks like he committed there today. I can't even remember the name of the school, to be honest with you.
Well, I was. Most of the time, with these kids transferring out, I really don't give a crap. And once you're not a Pirate anymore, I hope nothing bad for you. But I don't care what happens to you in terms of your career, just long as you stay healthy. But I always like Penix. I think Penix has been a Pirate. I think he's done what has been asked of him the whole time he's been here. And I think he sees the writing on the wall. He knows he can get any playing time. And so I wish him nothing but the best. He's a good kid. And lost his dad this past fall, so hopefully he does well.
He is a good kid. I tell you, from the time I first saw him, and I know he did fine at running back, but as soon as I saw him, the first thought in my mind was, man, he would be an incredible middle linebacker. I think if he could have played inside linebacker, I mean, I think yep. the there's no telling how good the kid would have been, but he was set on running back, so you know, it's the way it is.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right about that, Power. Now his body was perfect linebacker. You're right on the money about that. I'll tell you one thing, Al, that one thing I've mentioned about the Montgomery era is that we had pretty much no tight ends. There was no tight end room. But now with Coach Houston, we are loaded with tight ends.
We got too many.
Loaded.
Oh, yeah, we're loaded. Well, we get 5-6 deep now, guys. I mean, there's so many different offensive packages we can put in now. We put two tight ends in the game at the same time. A lot of mismatch. Ryan Jones, from a physical standpoint, is going to be a nightmare. I don't know who a linebacker can't cover him. He's too big and strong for a safety. Good luck covering that kid. And I'm a big Calhoun fan. I thought he had a great scrimmage. I thought he had a really good, solid freshman year. He checks all the boxes as far as tight ends go. And the Jarman kid coming in from North Lenoir High School, I believe from the Kinston area, LaGrange, where you're from, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Nice pickup. I think he can catch the ball. Plus, he's really going to help with the running game, too. He's a big, big, strong kid.
Yeah, he wanted to come here out of high school, and Montgomery didn't offer him, so he ended up at Temple, and now he gets to transfer back. I mean, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you have a kid who grew up going to East Carolina games, who wanted to be a Pirate, who is getting D1
offers. I'll tell you how.
And you don't – look, and tight end was a position we didn't have any depth at. How in the world – even if it's a last-minute offer, you see Temple's offer, how you don't go offer that kid a scholarship is beyond me. But thankfully, he's here now.
Because everything was in Miami. We had to go for that city speed. He didn't live in the city.
Well, he lived in the big city of LaGrange, Wheat Swamp.
You were talking about line play. Al, what do you think about the offensive-defensive line? I know you said generically, but certainly the defensive line, we look like we're loaded. But what about the one area that I'm concerned still, as much as I love Coach Schenck, is offensive line. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think on paper we're going to be as good as we've been in years. But I'm looking for us to bring in – I'm thinking probably be shocked if we don't bring in at least one more offensive tackle. I know we got the transfer from Oregon State coming in, but we're okay at center, I believe, and the two guard spots, but we could definitely use another tackle. But I definitely think on paper we'll at least be have the potential, you know, to be consistent up there and be able to move the chains more so than we've been in probably 5 years.
Al, are you like me? Do you think that as the FCS season wraps up here, you're going to see a lot of seniors who finished up their FCS careers this spring that now get another year of eligibility trying to transfer to FBS schools?
Yeah, absolutely. You sure can. But how many spots do you have? They have open. You know, I can't stand the transfer thing, to be honest with you. It's basically free agency.
Neither.
It's free agency. I mean, you got this kid. You're building, and you're gonna get me on my soapbox here. I'm gonna get fired up. You're building.
Go for it.
A program. You're not building a program anymore, man. And this is for all sports. You're building a team every year, period. I mean, I'm building the 2021 football team. God knows what I'm look like in 2022, because I may have 10 new guys come in and 15 kids may decide, hey, look, yeah, I'm not playing enough. I'll leave, and it's horrible.
No, I agree with you, and I think the not having to sit out a year is the worst decision.
Yes.
That has ever been made. Because, you know, I've made this example up here several times. And again, I'm going to make this clear. I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, nor do I know anything. But I just use him as an example. You know, you take a kid like Rajay Harris. What if Rajay Harris, you know, rushes for 1,500 yards this year, puts 150 rushing yards on South Carolina, and all of a sudden, you know, come next spring, they go, hey, kid, you want to come back home and play the SEC? I mean, you know, that kind of crap's going to happen now. With kids not having to sit out a year, you're going to have these Power Five schools trying to poach from Group of Five schools. And then also you're going to have the other thing. You're going to have kids that go to Power Five schools and after 1 year don't get playing time, they're going to transfer to Group of Five schools. It's going to be a mess.
There's going to be a ton of tampering going on. There's going to be so many behind-the-scenes conversations, not only through friends of friends, but, I mean, directly to the players. It's just – I don't know how you can control it. I think the only time would be where you wouldn't have to sit out a year. I think it's when the coach who recruits you leaves. then I think it's that would be fair for a kid to look at another opportunity. I agree with Dick Vitale. He says that, and I agree with that. I think that's the only time that it would be make sense for a kid to be able to leave after one, not have to sit out a year.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, I don't want to do it at all. But if you're going to do it, that would be the only way I think it's acceptable. One.
Yep, the only one.
Yeah, as far as hey Al, you know I'm a defensive guy, and the defense is loaded. Don't you think? It's the best defense we've had. Well, a lot better than we've had in a long time, at least 2015.
Yeah, definitely a lot better than 2015. But I mean,
we've been so depleted on the defensive side of the ball. We've been so depleted that it looks like a loaded team. That's what I'm saying compared to what we've had in the last six years.
By far.
We're going to be running a ton of kids out there. I mean, young kids too, man. I mean, all those freshmen that got playing time last year. We go 8 or 9 deep on the defensive line, and most of those kids are freshmen, some sophomores. I mean, they're just going to continue to get better and better. Linebackers looking really good with the four we have, and then we got Ford back there now, the transfer, 6'4", real long. He looks great, and we got the other two kids coming in too now. The junior college kids, safeties that'll knock your teeth out. I mean, they're tough.
Yeah, I think our secondary is
playing better.
Secondary stout.
Yeah, we got a chance. If we stay healthy, we're not real deep. We're fairly deep, but not real deep. But we got a chance to be special on defense, and even more so in 2022.
Yeah, I kind of think if we can get some, I don't know what we're looking for in the transfer portal at this point, but I still think we could use some help at defensive end.
We need to rush in. The three people I would bring up, we have three spots left. I would definitely bring in a rush in.
Yep.
Offensive tackle. And then the last one, possibly a receiver or whoever the best athlete is plug in somewhere. But I think definitely you're right, Kyle. We need another rush in. What I would love to do, and he's doing better, is, God, if the light would come on with Freshwater, he and Jeremy Lewis would be a great one too, man, coming off that right end. But, yeah, we need another rush in, definitely.
What's the story with the receiver from Marshall? He was very highly recruited coming out of high school, was academically ineligible last year, didn't play at all at Marshall in his first year. Is he going to be – you know, D1 field ready, or was probably going to need a year in the weight room?
You know what? I think Marshall's becoming our, and I hate to say this, kind of, you remember how Fork Union and Hargrave were kind of our farm system?
Yep.
Looks like this year Marshall is, man. We got a damn good defensive back, wide receiver, and running back coming in. And those kids, the great players. Since we're not in Conference USA anymore, we can't take non-qualifiers, but that's basically what they do. Marshall, that's how they build their teams. That's why they're so competitive every year. Those three kids didn't qualify. They went up there, stayed a year. They're fully qualified. They're coming in here. They'll still have 5 years to play. Yep. And all three kids are good. I think they can definitely help us, Kyle. They've been lifting weights and running and conditioning and getting bigger and stronger, and I think they'll help us.
Yeah, they
fired out. I made a call to Mike Hamrick, and he said it was okay for those guys. We get some players to be named later. It's a trade, so we'll figure that out.
Well, they got a new coach, and you know, I looked at their staff. I actually like the staff he put together. But you never know when there's a coaching transition. How those players, you know, do they want to stay? Do they want to be a part of it? It's interesting with those three guys coming in and then being on the schedule. That's an interesting note to that, and the way Marshall finished their season last year, they had a bipolar season. They were one of the best teams in the country the first half of the year, and at the end of the year, they couldn't beat their meat. So I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, they did a 180. They were terrible at the end of last year.
We lost all our female audience here. There, just a...
or we gained them, one or the other.
Oh man. Wow.
I've never seen Pirate Al laugh this much. This is great, man.
Oh, that was good, man. I didn't see that one coming. I love hearing stuff like that when it catches me blindsided, man. That was good.
We're just trying to do what Coach Russ did back in the day. We should win the game. We should.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, all jokes aside, you know, forget the joke. I mean, if you guys watched Marshall football last year, they fell apart at the end of the year. I was still shocked they fired Doc Holliday.
I can't believe that.
I was shocked. Yeah, I think they, anytime you have a coaching change like that, I mean, we may be catching Marshall a good time. It's usually the first couple of years. Well, you know, any coach, any new coach, really, it just takes 2 or 3 years, 4 years to get your players in. So, I'm not looking for Marshall, even though they got some talent. This may be a down year for those guys.
You know, what's funny. We had Rick Minner on the show, and Rick, Southern Miss was in a weird situation this year, and they brought Rick in to kind of try to stabilize things on the defense at the end of last year with their kind of makeshift coaching staff. And Rick Minner told us some of the guys on that staff, when Marshall was still undefeated, said that they said that don't be surprised if Doc Holliday gets fired at the end of this year, no matter what happens. So I don't know what was going on up there.
I guess there's that much. The only thing I can think of is, man, there's that much cheating going on, and he got lucky, wasn't caught yet. I mean, I don't know. Nothing else makes any sense to me.
No,
because he had a good.
The guy won. So I mean, if you look at his
and you got to really screw up to cheat at Marshall.
And guys, that's what my dad and my insurance salesman, our car insurance at State Farm. That's what. A guy named Chuck Omine, he's a huge Marshall fan. And when I messaged him about the coaching change, he was very excited about the move. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what was going on, but he thought it needed to be made.
Well, hey, we'll find out. I don't know how much more you can win than Doc Holliday did. If they feel like this guy can do it, then we'll see.
Well, you know,
Hammerick liked that he wanted East Carolina.
Well, from what I understand, Hammerick didn't want to fire him.
There were some boosters. There was some rich boosters. I can't say the word I want to say because Kyle Norman would say it. That they caused this whole thing and they got him fired when the reality is they should have kept Doc Holliday when he built a great program there at Marshall. I mean,
well, one thing I wonder, Dave, I wonder if they thought they were going to get Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator at Tampa Bay, former quarterback at Marshall. I wonder if they thought they were going to be able to get Leftwich to come home, and then it just didn't work out for him.
Well, we know all about that. Just ask Jeff Confer about that, firing a coach to get a coach to be named later.
You couldn't even get your fifth or sixth or seventh choice.
Anyway, I won't go. I don't want to get Howard Ellis blood pressure up. We'll talk about fun stuff. Speaking of which, what do you think about Deonte Smith going to your beloved Panthers? We're hearing that mock draft. What round was that? It was an earlier round.
It was the seventh round, wasn't it?
I've seen him basically anywhere from like the fourth to the sixth.
Fourth round, is it? Yeah.
They need offensive linemen.
Maybe that was pro. I saw the seventh round.
I was curious. I was going to ask you that, Pirate Al. What do you think about Blake Prohl? His dad obviously knows the league a lot better than I do, but I just thought it would be great if you think about with Blake Prohl. Maybe they're thinking there's too many wide receivers coming out next year, but having that extra year and leaving the school that you came to, you know, storybook ending compared to the way you started.
I'm a Prohl fan, man. That'd be fantastic if you ended up with the Panthers now. And there's not many like this. I'm actually a Redskins/Panther fan. I love them both. And it kills me when they play each other. I was born and raised a Redskin fan. And when the Panthers came, I was the Panthers. So it's weird for me when they play each other. But I would love to see him end up in either one of those two places.
Al, now I asked Dave this. Do you say go football team, go now?
I'm sorry, what was that, Kyle?
I asked Dave this during the season. Do you say go football team now? Go football team.
No, I'll still say Redskins.
Okay. All right. Good.
I do kind of like if they have to change the name, I do kind of like Red Wolves.
Yes.
One name I haven't seen come up. Why not just the Washington Red?
Anything's better than the football team and getting rid of the cheerleaders. I mean, come on. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Well, they didn't get rid of the foot. They didn't get rid of the cheerleaders.
They did.
No, they just added a complete different gender of cheerleader to go along with the cheerleaders.
Oh my God!
Now you have co-ed cheerleaders.
It's a co-ed team now. Yeah, but still, that's not the same thing.
Dave, you're preaching to the choir. Do you not detect the sarcasm in my voice?
I know that. But by the way, Pyrodell, did you know the red wolves are actually endangered species in Northern Virginia? So it makes perfect sense. And you can still keep HTTR.
That's right.
Think about all the things you could do with sound effects, you could do with hats. I mean, the kids would love it. I mean, who's going to be against the Red Wolves? I mean, you know,
like Arkansas State.
Yeah, but they're the only one in the whole country that I know is a Red Wolf that I can think of.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, but there's no pro. What I'm saying, don't pick some lame, like yeah. Everybody has Trojans or there's some kind of every right. single one.
How about the Red Trojans? How about the Washington Red Trojans?
I'm not going to touch that one because I know where you're going with that, Kyle. But
hey, I got a great story I want to tell, but I don't want you to lose this. Being kicked off the internet here, but man, but remind me to tell you off air sometime about when South Carolina played Southern Cal and some of the
the Trojans and the Cox
were up in the stadium. It was fantastic.
The Trojans and the Cox. I mean, that just writes itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway,
hey, how about one of these days, Pirate Al? South Carolina is going to play Oregon State in a bowl game.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Speaking of which, Pyrodell, you said today, how about the fact that we are going – I feel very confident. I told the guys, and I know that actually Kyle was the first to detect, I think, the confidence of Coach Houston. I really believe that we could easily be 7-5 this year. I really could confidently say that and not be nice. I'm not being nice or just because I love the Pirates or my heart bleeds purple and gold. I really believe we're going to be 7-5 this year. That's my gut feeling. Looking at the schedule.
I think it's possible. I'd love to go at least 6-6 or 7-5 or anything above that. It's wonderful. But if this team could fight and claw and get to a bowl game, I really feel on paper for whatever that's worth. We're playing for the American Championship in 2022. Houston, for the first time, has finally got a lot of the deadwood out of here, a lot of the troublemakers, a lot of the crap is out of the program. He's got his kids in now, and the guy is actually smiling and happy for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah.
Hey, Pirate, when I went there with the Montgomery, the practices, it was so depressing to watch a Montgomery practice. When you go to a Coach Houston practice now, I mean, he even said it was funny. He said, we had to teach them how to practice. How sad is that? The East Carolina football that we have all grown up watching and that we love so much, that it got to the point where they had to teach the players how to practice at a D1 division, like a rich, prominent football school.
Yeah, it's unreal, man. He liked, I guess Montgomery liked doing this no tackling, everybody stand up, let's do NFL practices. But Mike Houston, to me, this is a compliment to Mike Houston. Mike Houston reminds me a lot of Skip Holtz, just a hard-nosed, damn good football coach. And if he can have the kind of run that Skip had, I think a lot of us will be happy. And I think it's coming. I really do.
Hey, Pardell, speaking of which, how about this? You're Skip Holtz, you leave East Carolina, you go to South Florida, then you go to Louisiana Tech, and guess where he might end up? Well, on the short list. Kansas.
Well, he's got to take the job, Dave. It's not like he's going to end up there. I mean, he's got to accept the job.
No, I know that. I said he was on the short list. I said he was on the short list.
It's a lot of money.
Hey, Kyle, did you see who else is on that short list at Kansas in addition to Skip?
Indeed, and it's who I said they should hire, Coach Monken.
It better be a lot of damn money because you're going to get your ass handed to you at Kansas.
Look, if they can get
the hardest job you can have in college football.
If they can get Coach Monken from Army, that's the hire they need to make. And there's no question. Hire him now. Let him run a triple option offense because that's what Kansas needs to do. They need to be different than the rest of the Big 12.
That's
need something to negate the talent issue. You run the triple option up there, you can do that.
Hey, in addition to Monken, did you see who else? Lance Leipold from Buffalo. Obviously, prior to that, he had done so well at Wisconsin Whitewater, I guess it was.
Yeah, and that's a good hire, too. I would hire either one of them over Skip, and that's nothing against Skip. I just don't see I don't see Skip winning at Kansas. I don't see that being a good situation.
As much as I like Leipold, I like Monken for the reasons you guys mentioned, bringing the triple option and that being a potential equalizer that Kansas would obviously need.
Well, if you can,
I'd be like the Navy coach going there. It's basically the same thing.
Yes.
I can't pronounce his last name, but yeah,
Niematalolo.
Or as Coach Houston says, Coach Niemont.
Coach Niemont. Yeah, I don't know how Syracuse didn't fire I can't think of their coach's name right now, but I don't know how they didn't fire him and hire Lance Leopold this season. Syracuse is awful. That program has been going down. They looked like they were trending upward, and it just hasn't worked. I do think that guy's a good coach. I just don't think he's a good fit for Syracuse. And
Dino Babers.
Yes, I think he's a good coach. Yeah. I just don't think he's a good fit for Syracuse. He should have waited and took a job Texas Tech, something like that. But how they didn't fire him and hire the Buffalo's head coach, I don't know.
I agree. Yeah, and you talk about Syracuse. Guys, do you remember the rivalries we had in the 90s with that group? I mean, they were I know they've had a great basketball tradition, but their football team, Donovan McNabb, I mean, you think about all back of the years, there's no reason why they shouldn't be good in that part of the country in the Northeast. A lot of great football up there. You look at Pitt, you look at Boston College, there's a lot of those old Big East schools that are now ACC schools. Boston College, I mean, there's no reason why those guys shouldn't be
well,
good.
I do think it's harder now. I actually think since the collapse of the Big East, it's harder for those schools to win. There's no reason to go to those schools when you can go to other ACC schools. I think they actually hurt their programs by doing away with the Big East. But I do think Syracuse can be certainly more successful than they are.
No question about it. Pirate Alice, for is the other Pirates, are that you looking for any other guys to be drafted this year? I mean, I know baseball, we'll talk to you another show. We had Coach O said there's up to six guys baseball wise that could be drafted this year. But as far as football, how many on your radar do you think? I know I'm putting you on the spot, that could be drafted tomorrow night, or not tomorrow night, but this weekend.
Smith, Pro. I don't think Verity is going to get drafted, but he's better off not being drafted, because if you go late in the draft, you're better off being a free agent.
Right.
You can choose which team is in need of a kicker. But I think Verity's got a shot. I mean, that guy was probably and we've had some decent ones or good ones. Without question, Verity's the best place kicker we've ever had.
And
Futrell, I mean, he stuck with the Bengals a little bit last year, but maybe, you know, hopefully he has a shot somewhere.
Yeah, and when is the last time we had a guy drafted? It's been a couple years.
It's been a while. Town 15, but it's
15, 16. Is it 15 or 16, Bubba?
It would have been what's his face? The receiver.
Zay Jones.
Yeah. Zay Jones, yeah.
Zay Jones going early in the second round. That was our last pick, and then we
16,
had
right?
Some guys up 17 because he played the 16th season.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So 17 is the last time we had somebody drafted. So yeah.
And then we had guys like Garrett McGinn get free agent deals.
Yeah. But we need to see that East Carolina name on the draft telecast. So if we can get it called twice, that'll be good.
Definitely helps recruiting for sure.
Yep.
Well, I have a feeling, guys, that with the guy that we have now as head coach, obviously. It's taking time for him to – I mean, he had such a big hole to come up from. But I think you're going to see a lot of guys start to – I say collectively, not in one draft. But collectively, you're going to start to see more and more guys under the Houston era be drafted for sure.
Well, the shame of it is, Dave, had we got the damn Tulsa win last year, that would have been four wins, and which means we would have probably played – a game that first weekend in December against an FCS opponent, and we would have been 5-5 and coming off of a 500 season. That's what is so irritating about last year. I don't think people realized how close we were last year to getting back to bowl eligible.
Yeah, very, very close. The Navy game should have gone. If you have Colt Nailers, you win that game. I know that's speculation, but I really feel
I don't let the Navy game bother me anymore because Temple had so many players out, so I feel like they canceled each other out.
I'm still mad about the Tulsa game, man. My
oh, God, the Tulsa game, yes.
Oh, my God.
We were wrong. That's what I'm saying.
I was screaming at the TV.
Had we got that game, I mean, that's four wins, and then you play an FCS game the first weekend in December, and you're 5-5.
Yep.
You can go to a bowl.
Yep.
No question about it. Hey, let's before we get Pirate Owl and Kyle Barber's blood pressure up even more, let's shift gears to basketball. I want to get your thoughts on basketball, Pirate Owl.
I've never seen anything like it, man. I've never seen this. I've never seen anything that has zero news coming out. I hope it's. I don't know how to take it, man. I don't know. I know we signed the three kids. I don't know if these three commitments have signed yet or not. Everything's being so close to the vest. Dewey's not saying much. I don't know, man. I wish I could tell you something, Dave. It's like top secret over there. And, you know, I would feel better if Kansas would hire that assistant coaching position between now and June 1st, because the buyout drops from $1 million to $400,000 on June the 1st. And I don't think Dooley would, I hope to God he wouldn't, sit here and tread water until then. I just hope it's more that, hey, look, I got some good kids I'm recruiting. We're close to some commitments. I don't want anything to leak out. I'm going to keep it tight until we get everybody signed. Then we'll release it. I'm praying that's the case.
Well, so that's where I'm. You still think there's a chance that he might be going to Kansas?
Until that position's filled, Kyle, I'll feel better when that happens, man. I don't think so, but there's – I mean, with no news coming out, I don't know what to think. I mean, zero, nothing's coming out of basketball. Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to put that. I like what you said, the first thought, though, with remember the assistant coaches, everybody was on the message boards were losing their mind. Imagine that. But they were losing their mind how Dooley hasn't named an assistant. Dooley hasn't named an assistant when he first got here. And then he put a great staff together. So I'm hoping that's the case, that he's waiting to the right time, like you said, to make the announcements. And we'll see how that goes. Do you want to move on to baseball since there's really nothing to talk about in basketball? I mean – there's a lot of speculation of a lot of great guys we could talk about, but certainly we beat the dead horse of Jaden Gardner to death. So that whole situation, but I mean, like I made the point to Mike Steele when I had Coach Steele on, there was a guy named Blue Edwards. He still made the NBA by going to even playing in East Carolina without the technology, without the ESPN deal that we have now. If they want you, they would come get you.
I mean, the kid was tired of losing. I mean, let's be honest. He was tired of losing. But he was the number one. You know, he had everything ran through Jaden here. I mean, he was a number one option. I mean, he'll go to, you know, Virginia or anywhere else like that that's been a top 15, 20 program. And, I mean, the kid's good. But he's – I mean, you're talking third or fourth option on those teams. I mean, he was I mean, he had a chance to, you know, put 20 and 10 here. I mean, he'll be lucky there to average 12 and 6. I mean, you know, so he could have had his jersey up in the rafters. He could have been the Hall of Fame, the all-time leading scorer. But I guess it just came down to, hey, look, I'm tired of losing.
Yeah, and if that's what if he wants to go play in the NCAA tournament, if he wants his moment in March. Then he'll probably get that opportunity at Virginia. But if he thinks going to UVA is going to get him in the league, I think he's going to be very disappointed.
That's what his dad said. His dad said that he had to move up. And I get so sick and tired of that when, you know, we are – if Dooley can stay here, I still believe in Dooley, and I don't think you can count the season. I mean, we went a month, guys, 28 days or whatever it was without – playing a basketball game. COVID has been so crazy with all the stuff, and everybody gets sick and tired of it, but it is part of reality. We were 7-1 before all this COVID mess.
That's true. And then we couldn't really put a complete team together, but a lot of teams in the country had the same problem, though.
Yeah, no doubt. What about let's talk baseball, since that's the only sport, according to Kyle Barber, you follow now.
All right. Well, I just figured one.
I'm joking. Hey, there's a lot to follow. Lots. This series is huge. Every series is huge from now on. It's a playoff series. It's a regional every weekend now. If we want to be a national seed, right? If we want to get what the prognosticators The Talking Head said that we'd be number 7 in the country as far as their projection. We need that.
We got to finish strong. We got to finish strong. I mean, I think the latest, and this changes every day, but I think the latest projections was we were going to be the number 10 seed.
Yeah.
Host a regional, but have to go on the road on the super regional. But I mean, we got to finish strong, guys. Wiz and Hunt's arms bother me a lot, actually. Let's just hope and pray that it's something minor. And after another week of rest, he'll be okay. Because if we can go, think about this, man. If we can go to a super regional, best out of 3 to go to Omaha, and you're throwing Gavin Williams in game one and healthy Wiz and Hunt in game two, I like our chances. We got to have Cooch Maynor. I mean, he has not pitched well the last month. But we've got to get Cooch Maynor coming on strong. We have to have him for the last 15, 16 games here.
Yeah, I think that, unfortunately, with the conference being what it is this year, it's going to be hard to go 4-0 or even 3-1 every weekend for the rest of the way. So I think our chances of being a national seed are probably out the door, but we certainly still have a great shot to host. Now, I think you can get in that national seat discussion if you do go 4-0 a couple more times. But I think going on the road right now may be a good thing. We haven't played on the road in a long time. You know, sometimes you need to get away from Clark LeClaire. You went 2-2 this past weekend. You got some guys that are, like, you know, struggling right now that weren't struggling earlier. Like you mentioned, the Cooch Maynor struggling for a while now. I think it may be a good time to get away from Greenville, go on the road and see if we can, you know, I doubt we can go 4-0 at Wichita, but can we go 3-1? That would be a successful weekend on the road, in my opinion.
Well, Godwin said his feeling is we're going to play pretty well at Wichita and pitch well. I hope he's right. But, and then the weekend after next, man, that's
the big
huge series, man. I mean, we're basically tied for first place with Tulane. They're coming here. They're coming to Greenville. So, good Lord, that Tulane series here is going to be something special.
No doubt. And guys, not only the how we finish, but the worst thing that we could do is play well the next few weeks and then play really bad in the tournament. The tournament is huge. We've got to win the tournament if we want to host not only a regional, but we also want to be a national seed. You can't do well in the regular season and then play terrible in the tournament and then want to be a national seed. That's just not going to happen. So they've got to win the tournament.
Well, it depends. I mean, we'll know if we're in position to be a top 8 seed by the time we go into the conference tournament. And if, you know, we're going to know if we're going to host here in a couple of weeks. And, you know, if we're in position to get in that national seed discussion, yeah, then we're going to need to go win the tournament. But, you know, we may not be in those discussions. We may be in the 9-16 field firmly. But obviously you want to win the tournament anyway. But there's a lot of ball to be played before we get to conference tournament time. I mean, we got to.
I tell you what, man, if we can somehow finish strong and secure a host site,
yeah,
you guys are going to think I'm crazy. But this happened to us when I went to the Miami Regionals. It took everything we had to win the tournament that year because we had to win the tournament to get in. And then by the time we got to Miami, we were worn out, man. But I would rather, once that host site is secured, yeah, I want to win the tournament, but I'd rather keep our guys healthy and rested to host that regional. That's much more important to me than the American Conference tournament. After we secured that host site now. That's what you're playing for, and that'll be determined before we ever play in the American tournament.
Yeah, that's
in fact, as a matter of fact, it's the Tulane series, my friend, Pirate Al. Right after that Tulane series is when.
I think May 10th, they're saying right around May 10th is when they're going to announce the 16. Okay. Actually, they changed that today, guys. It was going to be the 16 sites. Now they're going to name 20 and then cut it down to 16 like a week later or 2 weeks later.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they just announced that today.
So they're gonna name 20 sites. So you're gonna have alternate sites in case somebody falls apart.
If what I saw was true today, and that's what I read.
COVID. Well, what about COVID-19 as well? If you have a huge COVID outbreak.
Okay.
That's my guess.
I'm so sick of hearing about COVID outbreaks. I don't know what to do.
But I don't want 50% capacity, man. I want a packed stadium. And I know that the problem is now the NCAA has come out and said, look, no more than 50% attendance. I mean, come on, man. This is
If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask.
If you don't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I don't care. Let's just play some damn baseball.
There's some good news, Al. There is a silver lining in that 50% capacity by the NCAA. If everything goes right between now and June 1st, as Cooper said, we can go to no capacity limits, and you don't have to social distance as of June 1st if everything goes right. So we may be able to have a true 50%, meaning if you don't have to worry about social distancing after June 1st, instead of having 1,500 people in Clarke-LeClaire, we can have 2,500.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But I'm greedy, man. I want 6,500.
Anyway, yeah. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Well, you're right. Hey, Pirate Al, I do have a question for you. We've been debating this, and you it's not a joke, actually, but as far as the first home game against South Carolina in September, how many people do you think will be there approximately? We've have 41,000. We've heard 47,000. I just want a packed stadium. But greedy-wise, I want 51,000 because that's a huge game for us. But in your mind, I know what your heart and your brain is. There's two different things. What do you think?
46-3.
All right, I'll take that. How many of those are Gamecock fans, though? They'll probably bring 5,000 or 6,000, don't you think?
4,000.
Okay.
All right. 4,000 Gamecock fans, 42,000 Pirates.
And spread them all over the stadium, man. Don't give them one section. Be smart. Put 100 over here, 100 over here, 100 back there. Spread them. In the upper deck, by the way.
Upper deck, yeah, exactly. Yes. We've had trouble filling the upper deck for a few years now anyway, so put all the Gamecock fans.
I can solve the upper deck empty problem real, real fast. And if you're listening out there, ticket marketing department and ticket office, you got a little section called the fan zone. Tickets sell for $100. Expand that section. It's better to have people paying $100 for season tickets than not selling season tickets at all. Expand that section in the upper deck, and you'll sell a lot more season tickets. There's a whole lot of people out there that would buy a $100 season ticket versus just buying a $60 South Carolina ticket. So expand that fan zone area, and let's sell some season tickets.
That's true. Go ahead and build your attendance back up, and then when we get good again, which is going to happen,
yep,
then you can worry about maybe increasing the pricing, but get the people in the seats.
Yep. Not only that, Pirate Al, but you make a great point. We've been talking all show about 2022 is going to be a huge year for us. So this is kind of like your dress rehearsal, if you will, for season tickets. We're going to show you a great product this year. Next year, you're going to have to pay $200 or $300 a seat or whatever you pay. But this year, we'll give you the $99 to get everybody back in there. Especially when everybody's scared of COVID, they may be more likely to buy a season ticket, anybody that's on the fence, if you have $99 versus $200 or $300 a seat.
Yeah, and your regular season tickets are what are we paying? $200 each, I believe. $250. I don't even remember now. I paid for it last year. Like I said, every time I look at that little, they used to call it the economy plan. Now they call it the van zone, and it's such a small area. And I always wonder why not expand it? Just sell more tickets.
Yeah, with attendance being like it's been in the last few years, you got to be aggressive. You got to do different marketing ideas. Just get butts in the seats, and then worry about 2022 next year.
Yeah, and plus, more people there, more concessions sold, more merchandise sold.
Yeah, more. Yep, that's right.
And it's a louder crowd, right, Pirate Al? I mean, can you imagine when we beat the Gamecocks in September, and the place goes, you know. Are you going to, I know this is a dumb question, but are you going to Charlotte for the first game to get your mayonnaise?
I've already got my tickets, man. Yep. I already got my tickets. We got, there's seven of us going, and we got sideline seats at $90 a pop. And I was shocked at the prices. It's $135 for club level, man. And,
ridiculous.
We got the next level down, $90 sideline seats, but yeah, I'll be there with six of my buddies.
Yeah. There need to be some cheaper tickets available for that. And if we're going to have 100% capacity, which I'm pretty sure we are, there probably will be some cheaper options. I think the cheapest ticket for that game is 55.
Yeah, in the end zone, 50 in the end zone, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you need like a $30 or $40 option.
For the nosebleeds, charge like $30.
Yeah. I mean, they're not even come close to selling it out on a Thursday night. So you're gonna have, you know, if there's 40,000 people in there, I'll be shocked. I mean, it's hard to do on a Thursday night. And at those prices. So, you want to sell some tickets, make them cheaper.
Hey, did you guys hear what happened today?
Yeah, field turf.
Panther Stadium's going field turf.
Yep.
Not a fan of that, but I guess with all the soccer and, I mean, all the other events they got going on, it's just wearing the natural grass out. I'm not.
Exactly.
I guess they have no choice, but it's going to be weird seeing Panther Stadium and with field turf. But whatever.
Yeah. They do have a choice. Don't play soccer.
That'd be my choice, too.
Yep. I was going to make a comment about the App State game. Everybody wants to talk about the South Carolina game, but that App State game is going to be a war. We are going to be underdogs. Look, and some of our fans are under the impression for some reason, I don't know why, that we're going to kick App State's ass. App State won 9 games last year, and that was a down year for them. That game is going to be an absolute war. We will be the underdog. I guarantee it. They'll probably be about a 5 to 6 point favorite, maybe a little less, new quarterback, but they will be the favorite. And I expect a complete war, 4 quarters down to the end. And if we win it by a field goal in overtime, be happy.
I'll be happy with a 1-point win, and I think it's going to be an absolute physical brawl. I think both teams are going to bring it, and you're going to hear the pads popping. It's going to be intense, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel confident because of the way we ended the season with you and with Houston coaching. We've got the coaches we have in now. Everything seems to be tilting in our favor. Finally, Paradell, I love the Carolina Hurricanes, 9 losing seasons where you don't even go to the playoffs. And here we are with the Pirates, 6 straight losing seasons. Never thought I would ever see that in Greenville. But I really feel confident this year that, we'll go to a bowl. Do you have a prediction of what bowl we'll go to? I know you don't care as long as we go to a bowl, but do you have a prediction where you think we might go?
Well, I like warm weather in December and January, so I'm going to say we're going to go to the Boca Raton Bowl.
All right. We'll be there.
That's a beautiful area down there, about, you know, an hour or so north of Miami. That's a beautiful area down there, but that'd be my choice, man.
I guess I shouldn't ask you because now all the Pirate Nation are going to be booked the hotels in there, so we won't be able to get a hotel now. We'll crash at your place down there.
All right.
Well, appreciate you, Pirate Al, coming on. Hey, by the way, I ordered my Run DMC camo shirt. I thought about you. I saw it online on Facebook yesterday or day before yesterday. So I'll be sporting that on the show here pretty soon. But those of you that know Pirate Al, he loves classic hip hop. And do you have a song that you have anything you've been listening to recently before we let you go?
Oh, a lot of them, man. I put it on. I've got XM radio, so I'm, you know, I flip it around. I definitely put it on old school rap, but I still like It Takes Two, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
Oh my God, yeah.
If you ever want to get the party started and get the club going, make that be one of your first songs you play, man.
I definitely will. In fact,
the Houdini, Curtis Blow. I mean, Grandmaster Flash. I mean, we can talk for hours on this, bud.
Salt and Pepper. I love that.
Yeah. Salt and Pepper, Set and Papa. Yep.
Well, Pirate Al, I appreciate you very much, man.
Push it, Dave.
It's sad that Supermarket Sweep now has that as a song. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I love game shows. But I was like, that's not cool, man. I mean, come on. But anyway, Pirate Al, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm talking about the Supermarket Sweep music cool. That song.
Push it
I
real
love the song.
Push it real good. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're talking about shopping cart. That's not – anyway, never mind. Never mind. Pirate Al, thank you, man, so much for coming on tonight.
Hey, enjoy it, guys. Go Pirates.
Let's do crossbones.
Absolutely. We'll have you again on soon, man. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Appreciate Pirate Al coming on tonight, guys. And do you have any – hey, Bubba, do you have anything before we go? Of course, we want to promote. We have extra innings brought to you by Next Level Training Center. Talk about that. Plus, Bubba and I had a chance to do On Deck today as well with Mike Kennedy, the play-by-play voice of the Wichita State Shockers. And Bubba put it there on the screen for you watching Friday through Sunday this weekend in Wichita. We have, of course, game one is on ESPN Plus, and all the rest of the games to be determined. But we have the doubleheader on Friday. And what else? What other times are they on, Bubba?
No video for games 2 through 4.
Are you serious?
Wow. So it'll be our good friend, Corey Gore.
I meant to ask Mike Kennedy that during the interview, but Mike Kennedy said after the fact, after the interview, that is, that unfortunately that was part of Wichita State's athletic department budget cuts.
So we only have ESPN Plus for one game, and then the rest of it is audio only, not even any. Well, all right, well, we need somebody to do what the Packers did a few years ago and break out their cell phone.
Facebook Live it on Wichita if you're there.
Bob, hey, I thought for sure you weren't here when you didn't pop for what I said a minute ago. I thought for sure you weren't here anymore.
What's that?
Pirate Al did Crossbones, and I said, let's do Crossbones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't catch it. I saw what he did.
All right, so we have extra innings on Sunday night. We'll be doing that, definitely Sunday. So make sure you join us for our next show. Bubba, Kyle, do you have anything before we go?
Just the lovely laughter of children in the background that always makes the night lovely. we got extra innings coming up on Sunday. So join us for that. Hopefully we'll be talking about a successful weekend up in Wichita that none of us will get to see. But we'll get to listen to. Who's going to join us? We have Coach O going to be with us?
Yes, we have Coach O and we have Mike Mullis. Mully's going to be joining us. It'll be Mully and Coach O and us. So it's going to be a great show on Sunday. So join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, until next time, until extra innings on Sunday night, you've been watching, listen to the sports. Good night. Go Pirates. Up and lean side to side, set the tone with your pirate pride. Put your crossbones up for your pirates. Take no business, throw them out the water. Put your crossbones up and lean side to side, set the tone with your pirate pride. Put your crossbones up, give a pirate. Let the other team know we got them surrounded. Put your crossbones up and